Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. I know we're back, baby. I feel like we should be playing some AC/DC music or something.
Ooh, yeah.
But then, of course, YouTube would take the audio out. Or whatever. They wouldn't allow us to advertise. But I mean, we have a whole 15 subscribers on our new YouTube page. So If you're watching this now and you have not subscribed, please like, comment, subscribe. And hi to those of you who are watching live. Hi to everyone who's not watching live, too. We still want to say hi to you.
Yeah.
My name's Mark Leslie Lefebvre. I'm with Susie O'Connell and Paul Austin Ardouin. And we are here with, what are we doing today? What is the actual topic besides We're Back, Baby?
5 Reasons to Publish Wide, which is sort of the heart and soul of Wide for the Win, wouldn't you say?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes. Because who doesn't love the why?
Yeah. Why are we doing this? Who wants to go first? Who wants to?
Do we want to do that first, or do we want to reintroduce what's coming with the podcast first?
Oh, that's a great idea. So we could just let people know we're back, and we're not just back just hanging out. We're back with a real, I mean, I have the 2-page plan that we were looking at earlier today. Yeah, hit us with what's coming up, Susie.
Yes. All right. So we're going a slightly different format. We're going to shorten it down from an hour, which we used to do, to 30 minutes to make it a little bit more digestible. We're going to keep our topics a lot more focused. So very specific strategies. Like today, we're going five reasons to publish wide, to make it so it's not so much a fire hose of information. And for people like me who have ADHD, we can actually sit through the whole thing and not just wander off. You know, we'll find one piece of information that we hear that's, oh, I love this, and then go off like I do. We're also going to be doing a lot more author interviews, and not just with your top earning, you know, 6- and 7-figure authors, but mid-listers, and also with authors who are just starting out. Because I think, you know, so many of our community members are just starting wide. I think it'd be a lot more helpful for them to get information from people who are, you know, maybe one step ahead of them in their journey instead of 35 steps ahead in the journey.
Or even 32. I mean, 32 steps ahead is still really far.
42.
Ahead.
Yeah. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, 42. The answer to life, the universe, and everything.
And everything, yeah.
So our hope is to really make this more digestible, quicker sound bites, more implementable information or actionable information that you can implement today. Kind of a deal. Or if you're, you know, like today's topic, you know, 5 reasons to publish wide. If you're on the fence about publishing wide, well, here's 5 reasons why it's a good idea and why you should. We've also got something else I think at least the board members are really excited about we're going to be doing. We're going to give it a try for a couple of episodes at least. We'll see how it goes. Make My Book Better, in which we are going to workshop somebody's book live on air. So we'll bring in the first episode. We're just going to do it with board members who have experience with the genre. And I design covers. And so I can, you know, provide that insight. But for future episodes of that, we'd love to bring in other cover designers, blurb writers, editors. We'd also like to do some interviews with other service providers in the author sphere. So PAs and VAs, editors, working with cover designers, that kind of thing. So a lot more well planned out topics, much more specific topics. So if you're looking through our list of, you know, episodes, you can go, oh, hey, cool, I really want to hear this person coming up who's going to talk about how to succeed by publishing slow and steady as opposed to fast and furious. A little bit more easy to find find the information you're looking for, I guess. One of the best ways I can think of saving. I'm excited. We've got the next, 6 months planned out already of episodes. So we're raring to go here.
All right, cool. Awesome. So do we want to first list them, or do we want to just say the topic and then we'll launch into that's one of the reasons?
I think we just say the topic and then launch in the reason. What do you guys think?
Sounds good. Now, should we pick on Bradley first?
Yeah, let's pick on Bradley. Bradley wasn't able to make it live because he's how many hours ahead of us?
He's in the Netherlands.
He's in the Netherlands. So he was very generous and actually pre-recorded his. So yeah, I'd say go ahead and launch and let's pick on Bradley first.
Right. And we said, Bradley, it's gotta be five. If you wide and five, wide and five.
Wide and five, yeah.
Here he is.
Wide and five. 5 minutes for a wide little bit of fun. Ready? Here we go. Global, total international reach. That's what I'm talking about right now. Hey, I'm Bradley Charbonneau. I'm originally American. I now have a Dutch passport. And I live in the Netherlands. I live in Europe. And the reason that I want to talk to you for less than 5 minutes here about going wide is the pure international aspect. Based on a conversation I had yesterday with a woman where she said, we were talking about audiobooks, and she said, oh yeah, well, I use Storytel. And I said, oh, and of course I'm pushing the topic. I'm like, oh, not Audible? And she said, what? I said, it's part of Amazon. She's like, no. She uses Storytel. Because Storytel, I think it's Swedish. I'm not sure. Pretty sure it's European. But in any case, like, for example, they have a fantastic deal where you pay one payment and you have unlimited downloads and listens. What a concept, right? So especially, I'm a nonfiction author. I tend to have shorter books. And so based on the Audible one credit system, that's not going to go over too well because you're going to get the 9-hour John Grisham thriller, right, for your drive to France. But that's just one example of why being wide, being international, reaching markets you maybe didn't even know about. That's the beauty of being wide. Whereas with Amazon, of course, we know the markets that, yeah, there are a lot of them, but they're limited to where they are. In fact, in the Netherlands here, Amazon has just started a few years ago, but they're not very big and they're not very well known. And like this woman, she doesn't use it. I don't think I know anybody who gets books on Amazon in the Netherlands. Yes, I'm sure there are people and I'm sure Amazon is pushing it, but they get their books from bol.com, B-O-L.com. And how do you get to them? I'm pretty sure it's either through Kobo or Drafted Digital. I think it's Kobo. And they have a relationship with Bol. Now, here are two companies, if you're not wide, maybe you didn't even know about, right? Kobo and Bol.com. You're like, what is Bol.com? Bol.com is the default bookstore in the Netherlands. And there's 18 million people here. A lot of them speak English. And remember, I'm just one guy in one non-American or English language as a first language speaking country example here. And this is an example of, come on, Pips. I'm in my office here and I've got some visitors. Pepper, get out of the middle of the road. Pepper, out of the weg. Pepper, out of the middle of the weg. I don't need that middle of the weg.
Yeah.
All right, I'm giving you live action. You know what? I'm not even going to edit this because those were non-English speaking people. And that's another interesting element of completely going wide, is reaching English speaking. They do speak English. And in fact, a lot of Dutch people buy English language books. In fact, the woman yesterday, her thing, she said, I'm a nonfiction guy. She said, I really prefer it. My favorite is when the nonfiction book is read by the author in their original language. So think about this, especially if you're non-English, to make sure that you are in countries where that's the native tongue. So Spain or Mexico or South America or anywhere else in the world, Germany in the German-speaking countries or French in French-speaking countries. And remember, it's not just the countries, but all of their, you know, past conquerors of colonies, former colonies, right? So not just one country and one company like Amazon in the US. Now, remember, I'm American. That's where I grew up. That's what I know. Amazon was everything when I lived there. That's where you order your stuff and your junk and your books and your Kindle. Yeah, I have a Kindle, but I also have a Kobo reader now. And so remember that there is going to be people who don't just buy on the big river. They want to be elsewhere in the world. And they are. So the question is, are you? Are you international, and how international are you? And are you reaching markets that Amazon doesn't reach? like Kobo, like Storytel, like these companies, Kobo Plus is now in the Benelux. Benelux is Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, right? And Kobo Plus is there. I think it started there. So I'm almost up to my 5 minutes. We got wide in five. I'm Bradley Schrobenow. I hope this was helpful to help you understand the international impact of going beyond your borders. Thanks for watching.
So handy.
It was very handy. And I think you just stole that half of my talking points.
It's okay. It's okay for us to overlap because one of the things I've learned is that it's important, like as you're constantly learning, I've been in the industry over 30 years, is sometimes mm-hmm. you have to hear something four or five times before you actually start paying attention and pick mm-hmm. it up.
So yeah, speaking of Bradley stealing some of my points, if you guys don't mind, I'll take the next one.
Of course.
Because it kind of, you know, flows very nicely into. So my top reason for publishing wide is reaching a wider reader base. As Bradley pointed out, Amazon is not everywhere. And along those lines, not everybody reads on Amazon. Not everybody reads on Kindle. Not everybody buys their paperbacks from Kindle. I personally, if I'm reading eBooks, I actually tend to read them on my smartphone. My iPhone. I like Apple Books, or I also like the Nook app better than Kindle's app. I like the Kobo app better than Kindle's app. So I tend to read on those as well. The other thing is yes, Amazon is a large chunk of even the American audience. I've seen some people estimate 80%. I don't think it's anywhere near that high. It could be. I'm not entirely sure, of course. But anyhow, wider reader base. I love reading on things. I've had people reach out to me that say they are so glad they are able to find my books on Kobo or Apple or Barnes & Noble or Google Play. I want to get my books in front of as many people as I possibly can because that's more sales for me. It's more people reading my books. It's me being able to live my dream of being a published author because there's more readers out there that I can reach on these other platforms. And like Bradley pointed out, Amazon is not the big dog in a lot of countries around the world. So yeah, I want to reach more countries around the world as well, not just the US, not just the English-speaking countries. And you know, another market besides Netherlands that has a very large English-speaking population is Germany. Germans love English books. And I took 4 years of German in high school, and I was really fascinated by our exchange students who preferred to read in English because it helped them improve their English. It's reaching readers where they want to read is another big point of this. It's not readers' jobs to go find us books or find our books. It's our jobs to reach them. We are providing them with a service, whether it's nonfiction, you're informing them, or it's fiction and you're entertaining them. It's our job to reach them where they read, where they prefer to read. And I can't tell you how many times I've come across authors who are new to wide, who are considering wide, who think that for some reason readers owe them sales on Amazon. And that's just not the case. You know, it's like readers are buying my books. They're taking a chance on me. I'm going to reach out to them wherever they read. I think those were kind of my main points without going over. So what do you guys have?
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing. I love the idea of reaching readers where they yeah. want to read. They're not necessarily going to change platforms just for little old me. Yeah. They're going to change platforms maybe for Stephen King. I remember, you know, Stephen King was doing early technology stuff. It'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll do this just because I need to get a Stephen King story. But last time I checked, I'm nowhere near that level of fame.
Yeah, so most authors aren't.
Yeah, no. And I am in Canada, and I do read on Kobo. So that's mm-hmm. my default reader of choice. Yep. And even looking for audio platforms, I actually listen to audio on a multiple platforms yeah. as well. Not Kobo. I have a subscription there. I have a subscription to Audible as well, but I also use two different library apps because I'm such an avid audiobook listener.
Yeah. Well, and think about it too. So I'll get books in my Facebook news feed, you know, advertising for books. And I'm like, oh, that book sounds really great. It sounds right up my alley. And I go to click on it and it's only available on Amazon. I don't have a Kindle. Yes, I have the Kindle app. I'm not a big fan of the Kindle app. It's a little better now than it was, but it used to be kind of clunky and just, I don't know. I didn't like the interface. Right. So I preferred not. How many readers out there are you losing if you're not wide? If you're only in Kindle Unlimited with your eBooks, you know, what if somebody has a moral or an ethical objection to reading on Amazon? Maybe they don't want to support this giant corporation.
Right.
They'd rather support a smaller company like Kobo, you know.
Fair enough. Or are they on a Nook and they want to be able to get their stuff on that device? Yep. Or Dan Wood from Draft to Digital, for example, he reads everything on Apple. He's an Apple guy, mm-hmm. right? So the Apple app on his phone, that's his place to get his books, audio and ebooks. All right. I think what do we got next? Is Paul doing the next one?
Yeah, I can do the next one for sure. I think one of the greatest reasons to go wide is that you're not dependent on a single retailer. I think all of us at some point have dealt with technology at a point where something has gone down and our life has been bad for 24 to 48 hours or longer because of it. Susie, you were having internet problems earlier. You know, when your IT goes down in your house, it's a problem, and big retailers are not immune to this either. Amazon, part of their whole conglomerate is they've got a subsidiary called Amazon Web Services, and AWS goes down from time to time. And when it does, you can't purchase anything through the Kindle app sometimes, When you don't have that available to you as an author, it can be crippling sometimes. We are also probably familiar with Amazon's rules and regulations about what you need to do as an author to be exclusive to Amazon and to be able to be in Kindle Unlimited. You aren't able to do things like sell your books on your own web store. You can't, in some cases, start Kickstarter campaigns with certain books. Maybe you can't give your books away for free if you want to. And I think we've all heard stories, at least anecdotally, from authors who have been tagged by Amazon as breaking the rules when they haven't. There was, especially a few years ago, there was a whole thing about Kindle stuffing, companies tricking the system into, or authors tricking the system into getting page reads when there really wasn't any content on those pages. Well, Amazon, as they should have, cracked down on this, but there were a lot of innocent indie authors caught in the crossfire of that. And if you're kicked off of a platform, especially when you're in that exclusivity where there are a whole lot of rules and regulations that are crucial to you following if your livelihood depends on writing, I just could not bring myself to be exclusive to a single retailer. And you know, we're picking on Amazon, but if any other e-retailer had similar rules about being exclusive with them, I would have the same concerns. What happens if your systems go down? What happens if you think I've broken a rule and I haven't? So, you know, for a lot of reasons, that's one of my biggest examples of why I chose to go wide.
Yeah, that's a really great point about not just Amazon. Little tiny bit of blip of news coming out of Apple that their books app and their bookstore is not a super high priority. No, they're not saying they're going to keep it open. They're not saying they're going to shut it down, but what happens if they do, you know, if you're
a piece of news that I heard for Apple Books is mm-hmm. that if you want to sell through the Apple bookstore in the European Union, they are now requiring a phone number and a physical address for you as the author. And if you don't have a post office box, or if you don't have a, you know, rental box from your local UPS store or via box or something like that, mm-hmm. people don't want to have their address and phone number out on the internet for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. And it's not always convenient or viable for people to get a PO box or a Google phone number or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's certainly, even if it is viable, it's a pain to do.
Yeah, it is. Just have to pop up. We have Kristen says hello, Wiley. Happy to see a live stream again. Great to have you there. Thanks for the comment. Comments help. Comments help because it just tells the algorithms at YouTube to show it to more people. Mm-hmm. I think what you guys were talking about is a perfect segue into one of the things that was really important to me, and that is multiple paydays from multiple sources. And this is an important thing to me, and it has always been an important thing to me, is multiple sources of income. And it sounds like we're bashing a particular retailer. We're not. I do make a significant chunk of money from Amazon, but I don't make all my money from Amazon. I get a wonderful, relatively consistent payday every month from Amazon towards the end of the month, but I also get paid from different retailers at different times. I get paid from my direct sales usually within 24 hours after the sale gets processed. It goes right into my bank account, which is fantastic. My version of wide's a little bit wider than just thinking about ebooks and digital and stuff like that. I do get royalty statements. I do get advances from traditional publishers. So I've broadened my version of wide to even beyond just thinking about ebooks and Amazon exclusivity. For example, I was just talking to Susie and Paul before we went live about getting some banners delivered from Vistaprint because I'm going to be doing some in-person events this weekend. And those in-person events are another source of income. Yeah, it requires a bit more of an investment, like the banners and the tablecloths and stuff like that that I purchase, and even the stock that I have to pre-purchase. But again, it's a different source of income. And usually I either have the cash in my pocket right away, or again, through Square, I get the money directly in my account. So same thing, you got direct sales, you got various sources like that. And that's one of the other things, so that if any one of those sources dries up, yeah, if Amazon dries up, it's probably going to hurt a little bit more, but it's not going to take out my entire income as an author. And I think that's one of the more important aspects is being able to, you know, circumvent that risk, which I think is really important. And I want to just go back as I bring my colleagues back up onto the screen, go back to something that you guys were talking about. And I remember Michael Tamblyn at Kobo saying this when I worked at Kobo. He said, when you look at the other main companies, the priority, the one of the big retailers that sells ebooks is an everything store. So books, again, are, while they're a major part of it, that's not their core business. That's not where they really make all their money. One of the other ones is a gigantic search engine, right? So books have, yeah, it took them 10 years to have with their direct self-pub platform before it actually became something viable for authors, where they actually cleaned it up and got some really good book people in there to fix it. Barnes & Noble is only available in the US, so it's not really useful to anyone outside the US. And again, Apple's another tech company about selling Apple and Macintosh devices and stuff like that. So again, the priority of a company like Kobo is books and reading. That's their main priority. You can say Barnes & Noble is also about books and knickknacks in the store and all that stuff. But again, that's another reason why having multiple sources is important.
You know, and if anybody listened to the previous Widestream episodes, I've been over my burnout and not publishing or releasing a book in going on 6.5 years now. If I were reliant on just Amazon, which prioritizes newer releases, I would be screwed. I would not have a career at all right now. So having those multiple paydays, reaching that wider audience, makes it so that I can still write and I can still work from home and still do this part-time now. But it's like if I were reliant on just one retailer, and if it wasn't Amazon, if I was saying, even if I were just reliant on just Apple, yeah, same thing, you know, I'd have one narrow stream of income. So a lot of the wide game is just multiple streams of income. And like you said, Mark, we're here in Wide for the Win, we're beyond just ebooks. I mean, we're looking at, to give you a point to slide into the next one, libraries.
Yeah, yeah.
Other countries, other formats, selling direct on your website. I mean,
Yeah,
that's what we're about here at Wide for the Win, is we want you to reach as many readers as you can in as many countries in as many formats. And we're here to help you do that.
Yeah, and that's a great segue into this topic for libraries, where we'll just leave all of us up on the screen for this one. But this is really, really critically important to me. I've always been a fan of my library from the moment getting those Berenstain Bears and Dr. Seuss books and stuff from the local library, because, again, the nearest bookstore where I grew up was an hour drive away.
And it was a big trip. It was a big deal. It was kind of like you only did it once a month and you had to do all your shopping at once and stuff like that. So it was like, cause you know, we would get in the wagons and we would go cause I'm of that age. but that was an important thing, is the library is important to me. But here's another thing. And this is really important when you're first coming, if you're first coming into Wide and you've trained your readers in Kindle Unlimited, you can share with them that now that you can read all my books for free at the library. So again, it benefits the community, it benefits you as an author. And if you're outside the US like I am, the 36 countries around the world have public lending right programs. And I'm not saying that to rub it in with you guys, but I'm saying Canada has a very generous public lending right program. So do other countries. So if you are an author watching this from outside the US, just Google public lending right. The Public Lending Right Commission has different sites for the various countries. And it's another way that I get additional revenue. I actually get, you know, a certain time of the year, I get a check for my books appearing in libraries. But it's also a great thing because I did interview folks from the Panorama Project a few years ago from the University of Portland. And they showed, their study showed that pirates and libraries, which publishers like to blame, but book pirates and libraries actually help sell more books, because what happens is people read them, more people read the books, and then more people talk about the books. And when people talk about the books to their friends, the friends go and get the books wherever they, I would get it on Kobo. Maybe someone else is going to go get it from the library. Someone else is going to see if it's available on Amazon or Nook or whatever. And so that's the key thing, is it really helps get you in front of more readers. Any other thoughts on libraries, guys?
What's that one meme I keep seeing going around about people deciding that the books and knowledge were so important that we had to make them free, which is in the terms of libraries. Every time I see that, it's kind of like, funny, but it's so true, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many readers I've talked to and other authors that like, you know, my local library probably saved my life. They gave me a place to go to, kind of a second home, you know, a place where I was safe, where I could explore other worlds, other ideas, where I could learn. I'm totally jealous about your public lending rights. I wish we had that in the US. Maybe I should continue writing to my congressman about it and other US authors.
And authors groups as well. If you're members of different authors organizations, they can petition. Because it was the Canadian authors, the Writers Union of Canada, I should say, that worked with Canada Council of the Arts to make it happen here in Canada.
I don't know if you see Katie's comment.
Just because we don't have the lending rights doesn't mean we don't get paid. Yeah. I know when I was first, when I first became a Wide author, I didn't think that we got paid by libraries. I thought it was just, well, you know, you put your books out there and maybe they'll read your first in the series and they'll buy the other ones. But realizing that there is a cost per checkout for that you get for some of the library services out there, and others will purchase your ebook at two or three times the cover price, and you get that. So for newbies out there, you actually do get paid by libraries, even if you're not outside the US.
100%, 100%. Thanks for that reminder, Paul, because people forget about that. I love Kristen's, I was a library kid, now I'm a library adult, and I'm a library-friendly author. Libraries for the win!
Yes, exactly. And Katie had a really good question, too. Other than notifications on the Libby app, how can we encourage our library to carry our books? Ask your readers to say, hey, go to your local library and ask them to carry your books, or if they can get copies of your books in stock. And that could be digital versions and it could be print versions if you have print available.
Yep. But also let them know, they do like supporting local authors. Let them know that you're a local author and say, hey, I'm a local author. And maybe through, you know, your Kobo dashboard or wherever, you can see the global map and see where in the world your books are sold. I've sold in 42 different countries around the world. Maybe some local people want to check me out. Libraries do love working with you, and they're so easy to get. You can say, oh, it's available through Overdrive or Hoopla or Baker & Taylor or all the various library applications like that.
Yep.
And you, as an author, you can request that your book be put in the library as well. All you need is a library card in a lot of situations, and in some cities, you don't even need that. So I used to live in California, but nowhere near L.A., and my books are in the LA County Library System because I requested that they be put in there. And I got a couple of my friends who live in LA to do the same.
Awesome. And looks like Kristen's done the same thing with her socials and emails, the street team members. The libraries don't always say yes, but you never know. Sometimes they will, right?
Exactly. The answer is always no if you don't ask.
Yeah. And I have to say, welcome, Archie. Archie is watching and saying, thanks for the info from an author who's looking to go wide for the first time in the next month or two. Archie, pay attention. 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the same bat channel, the wide channel here on YouTube. We'll be posting various things and even, there'll be some great stuff that I think you're going to find useful. So thanks for that comment. I appreciate that.
Yep. And hey, look at that. We've already managed to fill up the whole half hour already. Can you believe it?
All
right.
Thank you guys. Thanks everyone for the comments. Thank you guys as well. This will be going out in the audio only feed for the Wide for the Win podcast, which Bradley has helped set up and establish. Mm-hmm. And we'll be posting links to that, of course, over in the comments here, as well as in the YouTube channel and the Facebook channel. And in
Circle Group.
The Circle Group, of course. Probably the Circle Group first, and then we'll post it everywhere else afterwards.
Yep. And what do we have coming up next week is how to get the most out of live in-person conferences, right?
Yeah, as many of us are going to be at Author Nation coming up in November, we want to say, okay, oh, wait, a bunch of us are introverts. How are we going to do this? So we have a great chat about how to make the most of in-person events. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Wildlings, we'll see you next week.
Wildlings out.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, is written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.